evening as we're thinking of facing our giants. So there's some giants there, but facing our giants. I don't know what you think. I had studied into this, or had looked at this a little while ago, and I don't know what you think of when you think of facing a giant. What giant do you think of right away in the Bible? Goliath, right? David and Goliath. And that's a story that I'd like to look at this evening. So you can turn to 1 Samuel 17 a while. What do you think of when you think when we talk of giants? And talking about giants in the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about various places where there was giants. It's interesting to note that from very early on there was giants. Giants that were well known and feared. There was the Anakims. There was some that were spoken of that had, maybe this was actually Goliath as well, but they had six toes, right? Some of them had big iron beds. Some of them, it talks about various different, the children of Israel, when they went in to conquer the land, they saw giants. And that could have been taken two ways. Maybe the people just looked overwhelming. But I believe that there was big people there, probably, that scared them. They said that we are as grasshoppers. Now, we know they over-exaggerated that, but that they were, it looked real to them. So giants, do we face giants today? We're not talking about big people. A customer comes into my store pretty regularly, a couple times a week probably, and he almost has to duck to come through the door. He's a big man. And I fear him? No, I don't really fear him. We're not talking about people necessarily in and of themselves, but we all, you know, David fought and prevailed with Goliath. And you and I today have fights that need to be fought, have wars that need to be won, and we can do that today with God's help as well. We all have some have giants of some sort in our lives, something that we have to deal with. 1 Samuel 17 has this story, a very familiar story. We know how the Philistines and the Israelites were at war. Southwest of David probably know better about this, but where exactly this is at, since he studies Jewish maps and things like that. But southwest of Jerusalem, I believe, and Bethlehem, they reached standing on their own mountain, and I saw some pictures of how that looks today, where they think it was. But they're each standing on their own mountains with this valley between and this creek maybe running through the middle of it. You can get your own picture of how this all looked here. But 1 Samuel 17, I'll just read verses 1 to 11 here quickly. Now, verse 1 of 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephizdem. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So they came, they're going to have war, and they set their both battles on each side. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the army of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then I will be your servants. Then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You get the picture, right? We all have our pictures of Bible story books or whatever that we had from little on up of what this looked like. And I don't know where Goliath, the Israelites had fought with the Philistines many times before this, and I don't know why all of a sudden Goliath shows up on the scene. I don't know where he was before this. But, you know, this story has been used many times since as an illustration of fighting our giants. And you put yourself back in that era. I don't know. I can almost imagine, if you just imagine today, I can almost imagine a father telling this story to his children or his grandchildren, maybe. Maybe you're sitting by the fireside and he said, you know, I was there that day. I saw that giant come out. Maybe a dad telling his boys all about his grandpa that was there, or whatever it was. He saw David walk down to that brook, and he picked up those stones. And I don't know, and that after that battle was all done, if like today, you know, every little boy in that area had to go get a sling. And, you know, this man was, after this was all over, David was a hero, okay? And that's not the point of this message this evening, but that was real. This was a big thing in that day. Just like you and I have some, and I'd like to think about this, you and I have some giants that we face throughout our lives. And maybe we don't always think of them that way, but they are some big things that we become scared of and we shrink back from. And you run all this through your mind and get that picture of that, and I don't think the Israelites even expected this to happen at all. And I think it was amazing. I don't know how that all went. So what can we learn from it today? You know, it's not just a nice story about a boy and his faith in God, but it's something God has written it down. It is recorded for you and I today so we can learn. And I thought maybe this evening, just to loosen ourselves up, I think we should sing. We all know a little Only a Boy Named David, right? I think we should sing it, and I think we should all do the motions too. All right? Only a boy named David, only a little sling, only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook, only a boy named David, but five little stones he took, and one little stone made him the sling went round and round. Just like that, simple, right? Not quite. David went through a lot as we think about it. I'd like to think just a little bit quickly. Thank you for singing that. I think we need to sometimes think exactly. This was a little David with a big giant. And I brought a tape measure along here just to look a little bit. Just to think a little bit of how big this guy Goliath was. It says he was, what's it say, 9? He was 8. Where does it say it's here? 8. Verse 4, his height was 6 cubits in a span, yes. And I think if I'm correct with this, that might be 9.5 feet, roughly, maybe. The 9.5 feet, just look here a little bit. If the 9.5 foot man was standing up here, still not high enough. Actually, about to the top of the clock. Yeah, there's 9.5 feet. So you can just imagine that his head is a little bit higher than that clock. That's a big man. I don't know how wide for someone that big would have to be, but I'd be looking at his belt buckle maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a big man. So you just imagine that. Imagine him standing there, that big man, 9.5 feet. I would be looking almost at his belt buckle probably. Imagine him sitting here on the bench. Legs out here, maybe. I don't know how he'd sit there, but that's a big man. He was big. He was huge. He was scary. This was real to them, okay? He was someone to be afraid of. He had a helmet of brass. He had an armor of about 200 pounds, roughly, if I calculated correctly here, about 200 pounds, including the weight, not including the weight that he had on each legs. I don't know what that would have been, another 50 pounds each. I don't know what that would have been. His spear was huge. It says it was like a weaver's beam. The head was around, what's it say here? The head was, greaves of brass upon his legs, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is roughly, I'm guessing, maybe 15 to 25 pounds. And now we know what it's like to pick up not very often do we have a 25-pound sledgehammer. That's pretty heavy. And to try to throw a 25-pound sledgehammer at a dartboard, that's what he was used to doing, I guess. I don't know if he could handle that thing pretty easily or not, but this was a big man. And not only was he big, but he was defying the army of Almighty of Israel and their God, Almighty God. So, and I believe that for most of Israel, I don't know how fast word traveled, but he was here for 40 days. Most of Israel knew that there was something happening in this valley. This man that was there, this big giant, I don't know if all of Israel was going through their newspapers that they had that day. They didn't have newspapers, but it was probably worried, maybe most of those people, what was happening. He was big, he was scary, he was a formidable opponent. And with the weapons of the day, how would you ever fight a man like this? I could see them thinking, right? What are they going to do? He was calling out someone to come out and fight him, but all were too afraid, too scared. And too often we can look at that and we say, well, what a bunch of scaredy cats. Why didn't they go out? I mean, they had God on their side. Why didn't they do that? Well, they looked at him, right? They looked at him. He was a man. He was big. He was scary. He was challenging one person to come out and fight him. I'm not sure why they, but today, in this particular case, it looked like the Philistines had the upper hand. And now we can look at David. It says that he was young. I believe he was young. We sing a song, Only a Boy Named David. Only a boy. Okay, so I don't know how old he was. I'm just guessing he was middle to upper teens. I don't know that for sure. I don't know how old he was. 15, 17. Maybe a lot of times people think he's 17. I don't know. A little squirt compared to this guy. And I'd just say maybe a bit shorter than me. That was a total opposite. I mean, who did David think he was? But he gets there just as Goliath comes out and was hollering out his defiance. And I believe David is amazed as well. Even maybe some fear down in his heart, maybe a little bit, as he looked at that man. But I'd like to consider a little bit, I will leave that scene a little bit, and consider a little bit of giants for us today. What are some giants that we could be struggling with today? Some practical ones, maybe. Fear could be one that's just a big fear could just be a big giant for anyone. It could be family situations, it could be a marriage, it could be teenage stress, it could be respect, it could be a wayward family member. Physical situations can be some great fears, some great problems for people. Deteriorating health, limitations, death, could be lack of funds, it could be the economy. The list can go on and on of giants that people, you just talk to people throughout the day, every day in your work or wherever you're at, there's some people that have some big giants that they look at those things and they are scared of and they worry themselves sick over them. And it's easy to look at them, right? But you know, you and I have our own sets of whatever that is. Could be fear of man. Could be a confession that we need to make and we're not doing it. It could be witnessing. It could be standing up for what is right. It could be the future for us. Maybe it's a giant of covetousness, greed, whatever, unforgiveness, bitterness, the wrong use of our tongue, maybe. Our tongue gets used a lot. That's a giant that we need to overcome, right? We need to look at sometimes we just allow those giants just to continue on in life, and we don't take care of them. It could be a love of stuff, materialism, I did mention that, anger, sinful habits sometimes people have, smoking, alcohol, gluttony, lasciviousness, imagination, gossip. There's a lot of different things. Something very gripping like lust or self-abuse or pornography, wrong relationship. Those are giants that many, many, many people are allowing to control them. And because they fear that giant, and that giant just continues to control them and scare them, defy their God, my God, your God. And sometimes those are a lot of emotional fears, maybe you want to call them. We have physical fears of different things as well. Maybe a child going to the dentist or whatever, we're familiar with that. But we each all have our own different giants. Some big, some not so big. Some scary, some intimidating, some whatever. But they're not physical giants, but they're just as real, I believe, sometimes if we think about that. Does God want us to run away from those giants any more than he wanted David or the children of Israel to run away from those giants back then? I don't believe so. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Right? We have the power. We have the power, brothers and sisters. We can be like David back in the Old Testament. It's a very loaded verse, but that is very true for us today. Humanly, David was no match for Goliath. That is a fact. And you know, we are no match for the devil or for our own carnal nature. We are no match for that. But God is way more powerful. Goliath had a purpose, and his purpose was to destroy God's people. And today, the devil has a purpose, and his purpose is to destroy you and I as God's people. In verse 8, he was very persistent. It says he came out. And verse 16, I believe, verse 16 says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So this was happening for a long time. And you look at some people, maybe even ourselves. We maybe fear something and don't keep putting something off, or we don't do this, or we keep struggling with this because we keep putting it off. We don't want to deal with that. We're scared of the results, or we're scared of the outcome, or what we're going to look like, or, you know, whatever all that may be. You can put a lot of different things in that. But he says, "Give me a man to fight 2 times a day for 40 days. You know, God never promises us a giant free environment. Another fact is that just because we won a battle this week doesn't mean that we won't have to fight that battle again. David won this battle very courageously, very wonderfully. God helped him. David had to face those same Philistines many, many, many more times yet. He fought them over and over again. Eventually, I believe he annihilated them, we don't hear much about them anymore. But most of his reign, I believe he had to continue fighting. I don't know if it all his reign, but he had to fight against the Philistines. Satan doesn't look at us and say, "Oh, he's too holy," or he's too good," or he's too spiritual, I can't touch him. He's untouchable. No, he keeps coming back and keeps coming back and coming back, and he'll find a different one. He'll find something different to work at. That's life. That's the way it works spiritually. God has promised us victory over our giants if we follow him. He doesn't want us to go through life worried about the next giants that we will face, but instead to rely on him and find peace. So what are some principles quickly or facts concerning our giants today? As I look through some of these passages here, we're talking about big giants, things that are big, and some of them maybe aren't as big, but they look bigger than us, bigger than what we think that we can handle ourselves. Or maybe sometimes we think we can handle ourselves and we need to realize how big they actually are, okay? Maybe that's more the situation. Saul was a big man, right? So to Saul, he was head and shoulders above the rest, right? So he was still a good distance between him and Goliath. Number one, verse 11, either we conquer, and verse 24. Verse 11 says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Number one, either we conquer the giants that we face, or they will conquer and rule us. That is a fact. We will be enslaved by them. You and I can choose to face and slay the giants of fear, of whatever that may be, or they will continue to dominate and intimidate us throughout the rest of their lives. I don't know how long the children of Israel were going to stand here and do this. Every day he'd come out and holler and they'd run back in. I don't know how long they were going to do that. And sometimes we can look at other people and say, how long are they going to put up with that? And go on. But you know, we can look at ourselves many times. How long are we going to continue to keep struggling with that same lust or anger or whatever? And I'm not saying that God takes our everything away from us, but I'm talking about failures. 1 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sounds like conquering to me. That sounds like something that's happening. You know, fear is a big giant. Fear of men, fear of failure and defeat, fear of not being forgiven, fear of the unknown, fear of acceptance, fear of so many things is a big fear. Many, many times we allow fear to conquer us instead of slaying them, and they bog us down for years. Sometimes people go into hiding. Sometimes people go in and they do very unthinkable things because of the thing that is controlling them, the giant that is controlling them. And God forbid that ever happen. So either we conquer it with God's help, or it's going to control us. Number two, preparation. In verse 15, and it would have been nice to read all these, but I'm already behind time probably. Verse 15, we see, and then chapter 16 and back there, it says, talk about preparation. We need to, in some of the principles of conquering a giant, there's some preparation that goes into that. You don't just go out and just slay a giant, whatever that may be. David was, he was anointed king, but he wasn't king yet for many years. I don't even know when he was anointed, if he knew exactly what he was anointed for at this point. He knew something was special, but he did not know what. God had a plan for David, and God has a plan for you and I. We don't always know where that's going to be. But we need to prepare and allow God to prepare us. Maybe that's more the situation, more the case. Allow God to continue to prepare us. God doesn't tell us that plan. We just allow him to lead us, wherever that may be, whatever that may be. Before David could be used for his great task, he had to be prepared and faithful in the little things of life. You know, when his brothers were all called to go into Samuel, meet with Samuel, he was stayed behind. And we don't know record that he complained about staying behind and taking care of the sheep. He was faithful in the little things, the menial things of life, whatever that may be. He prepares us if we allow him to, and he does that in the everyday things of life. He did it heartily unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do in everything, everyday life, on the job, the music we listen to, how we drive, how we talk to our children, how we are parents at home, how we treat those who trespass against us, the little things, the everyday things of life, that's how we're going to conquer the big things. And that's, I believe, what God wants of us. When it looks like our life doesn't change much, when we look like we aren't maybe worth much, or we're not being used the way we think we should be used, just continue to be faithful. Where God calls you, and just continue to be prepared, to get prepared. The victorious people are prepared people. David had practiced with his sling many, many times. He fought with a lion and bear. He was prepared. You don't get ready when the giant comes. You need to be ready when the giant comes. I think we need to remember that. And that was David's case there. It's to him, humanly, this man still looked big. I don't know which would have been bigger, the Goliath like this man, a big man like this, or a lion or a bear. I don't know which would have been worse. But he was definitely was prepared. Number three is our perspective, I believe. In verse 26. Verse 26 says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David saying, who is going to fight this man that is defying my God? Not something to run from, I don't believe. David maybe had ever been to the battlefront before. I don't know that for sure. But David loved his Lord and had a vibrant relationship with him back there in the hill country. And it had started a long time before this point, where he had a relationship with God. I don't know when he wrote his psalms. Something in me tells me that he did some of those back there taking care of the sheep. I don't know that. But it was a relationship that started back then. And he knew his God. He knew what God could do for him in various different things of life. So when this Goliath comes out cussing and swearing, defying Jehovah God, who is this? David says, who is this man that is defying my God? The perspective was, this man is defying my God. He is cussing our God. He is cursing at my God. We need to do something about this. And you know what? Saul and his army looked at this giant Goliath and said, he is so big we don't stand a chance. That is not what David said. He looked beyond Goliath to God, the one he had a relationship. He is so great that Goliath doesn't stand a chance. He saw God beyond that. You see, our perspective will change the way we face things. How do we look at these things of life? Do we see the situation of life? Did David look beyond Goliath to God? Even though Goliath looked big, God was way bigger behind him because he had a relationship with that before back further. And I think that is so important. Number four, we need to have purpose. Verse 29 and 33, I believe, talk about this. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? We know how his brothers came out and they said, they sort of scolded him for coming. What are you here for? And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And then in verse 33, I think he says it again. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You know, you're little. And he was a man of war from his youth. Is that the right verse I wanted to look at? I'm not sure here. But different times he said, is there not a cause? Isn't this something worth risking my life for? I believe is what David was trying to say. David, I don't believe, knew if he would live or die, but he was willing to risk his life to fight this man who is defying his almighty God, I believe. He had a purpose in life. He turned and said the same thing to those around him. And this spread throughout the camp all the way to Saul. And Saul says this to him. You know, again, he almost like belittles him and said, you're just a little boy. But there was a purpose there. And many times, you know, we look at our own strength and we say it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And we look at our own strength and we say that it is impossible. But it's not. Sometimes we have to say like the disciples and say, increase more faith. I can't see my way clear, but I need more faith. I don't know if David had to do that at that time or not, but he needed to do that. David was ready to take on Goliath in spite of what his brothers said to him, in spite of what Saul said to him. Sometimes we have some people in our life maybe that will come along and say, you can't do that. That can't be done. You're not worth it. You're too busy. You don't have enough of time. You don't have enough of money. You don't have whatever. And there will be naysayers in our Christian life. And they want to trip us up. They don't want us to succeed. That's what the devil wants. But we need to realize that opposition and discouragement will come at times. That is true. Our own flesh and our own emotions maybe even sometimes will come. Maybe it will be from our spouse, could be from our family, could be from co-workers, could be from church, wherever. Friends, co-workers. Do we have an area in our life that needs changing? We need to do it. Is there a relation that is strained? Conquer it. We need to have a resolve and go ahead and do it and get it done. Some people try to avoid their giant or maybe coexist with their giant. Maybe it's there could be a lot of different areas that we could look at on that. But and maybe they say, yeah, I know I have a problem, but you know, I'm not quite ready to deal with that yet. And that could be something but we need to have a resolve that I'm going to take care of it. David didn't get battered by the different things that people that were trying to slow him down. It was Elijah that says, how long will you halt between two opinions? I don't believe that David halted too much. He knew what needed to be done. He was going to do it, go the whole way with God. Number five, we need to experience progress, I believe, before this point. And verse 34 to 36 talks about this. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. There he uses that defies the army of the living God again. He is telling Saul all this. And David is saying, God has helped me with bears and lions and things like that before. He sure will help me with this giant man who is defying God himself. No, I don't believe lions and bears were little enemies. But this man wasn't a little enemy either. he was a big enemy. All of us face giants of some kind in our Christian life. And we go through a series of probably wins, victories, and defeats at times. But where is our progress needs to be continually growing. If David would have had a thing, you know, sometimes there's bears got away from, or, you know, I didn't, they came and they took the lambs, and what was I supposed to do? It's too bad. I tried, but, you know, it didn't kill them. They took them off. David knew success. He probably knew some failures too, but he didn't talk about those. He talked about the successes, and he had experience in what in those things, and he knew about those. He had progress with God in the past. He does not call perfect people to serve him. He just calls real people to serve him, I believe. People who are willing to progress as God leads them. He matures and purifies those along the way. And we need to make progress. Are we making progress is the question probably. In the little areas of life, facing the little giants that he gives us. Number six, we need to consider our protection. Verses 38 to 40 would talk about this. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, or he tried, or he started to go. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can almost picture him. Yeah, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. I can just imagine him having these big, this, you know what you see with a child that has their dad's coat on or something. It's just way too big for him. And they're walking around. I believe that was a little bit what David probably looked like with that. And David put them off. In verse 40, he said he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. Now, we could take this a couple different ways, but David knew what worked before. And you and I, we know that God's word works. We know the Holy Spirit works. We know the power of the Holy Spirit works. There's no reason to go trying other things, other human methods, other counseling. Yeah, sometimes we need some counseling, but other, whatever, outside things that a lot of the world runs to try. When we know God's word works. For 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's strongholds. That's like a castle. That's like a big fortress. That's bigger than a giant. And I believe that that's what God is wanting. Giants aren't defeated by willpower, human methods, and good looks, and right church standards, and human means, but simply by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Yes, some of those are all helps, right? But finally, it comes back to God's word and the Holy Spirit inside of each one of us. David realized the right things that he needed, and he used those correctly. Number seven, we need to realize and avail ourselves of the potential power. So David not only knew that he couldn't use these other things, but he also knew that he needed God on his side as well. Verses 40 to 46. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. The Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Use that too. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Goliath disdained him. I thought it was a joke, I believe, almost, that this little man was coming out. I can almost picture, you can put yourself, you don't like to do this too much, but put yourself in Goliath, in his own pride and everything. He thought, they're sending this man, this boy out to me, this stripling? It says he cursed him again. He cursed him in the name, in verse 45, David uses him and says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord. It is the in the authority, it is in the authority of God of this universe. Who or what is your power source? As you think about that, David had his. What is ours? Is it our own strength? Is it how we think that we can handle things? What is it? Are we trusting in our own Goliaths sometimes, maybe? Maybe it's our height, maybe it, whatever it is, our own strength. But David says, your experience, you're trusting in that. Your own strength, your power, whatever it is. But you know what? He said, I'm not trusting in my sling. I'm not trusting in my five stones that I have. I got what I needed, but I'm not trusting in those. He says, instead, I am trusting in my God, the God of the army of Israel's. That's who I'm trusting in. And I can see this big giant, very self-confident, boisterously laughing, maybe echoing across that valley. I don't know if he put his hands on his hips and, you know, who was this man coming to him? He cursed him by his gods. I don't know if that was Dagon and Ashtaroth. I don't know who it was, but David runs toward him, swinging his sling, something David had done thousands of times before, probably. Not at a person, I'm sure, but practicing there in the hills. And I believe David probably was good at his practicing. I believe he probably could hit something pretty good. I don't know that. But he realized and God guided that stone directly where it needs to go. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know if David actually saw that empty spot on his forehead. Some reason, maybe, I think that he did to some extent, but he knew he's going to need God's help as well. He used what he had. God expects us to do our part. David had to do his part, right? David couldn't just say there, hey, I hope he falls down. No, David had to do his part. You and I today, to face our giants, we have to do our part as well, whatever that may be, a lot of different things. Sometimes we don't always, first of all, David, Goliath falls backwards to the ground after I don't know if he falls down dead immediately or he's dazed, but David runs over and he cuts off his head. Completely goes the whole way. Sometimes you and I think sometimes I see people who don't, and myself even sometimes, maybe we don't go the whole way. We don't finish it. we get so far and I'm good enough now. I probably am good now. And we don't continue to slay the giant, conquer the giant. It says when the Philistines saw what had happened, they turned and fled. I think they were dumbfounded. But David took the head to Jerusalem, but the Goliath's armor he put in his tent. Why? I don't know exactly why he did that. I don't know how many times he went back and he looked at that armor, or the spear, or whatever. I think the spear he had for a while as well. And you know, today you and I, sometimes we need to remember back. We need to, over and over different times, remember back to the... Sometimes we look back at the many failures that we do, and we need to look at those as well. But we really do need to look at the victories that have won over the past. Sometimes people say, don't look back at your past, or some people say, do look back. There's an over on both sides, probably. But he was willing, I believe, at times to... Or he realized how God helped him. I think sometimes we as quiet Mennonite people, whatever you want to call us, quiet in the land, we don't maybe always like to talk about the victories that God has done in our life when we should. We should be ready with a testimony very quickly. God, help me with this. Yeah, I got over that. Quietly we say this. But God, you know, David kept something to remember. I won this battle by God's help, I believe. Number 8. He gave praise where praise is due. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee in mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why was he going to do this? So that all the earth would know. Now, when Goliath stood there and defied the God of Israel, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and a God that can do is way bigger than Goliath, way bigger than anything else in life. Not so that David could be proclaimed a great warrior like he was later on. No, it was to praise my God. So that God's name would be lifted up and many turn to him and recognize him. If we are serving If we are serving for any other motives but to honor and glorify God, we can expect to fall, I believe. Often our problems have to do with our motives. We are fearful of doing things because of what so-and-so would think. We don't want to confess this because, you know, what will be the repercussions? I can't admit such and such because, you know, next my children will disrespect me. Or, you know, on and on. There's all kinds of things that would happen. You know, we should look at progress and say, God did it, not I. And that's probably what David did over and over again. So thinking about facing our giants, Joshua 23, verse 1, he calls the children of Israel together. Joshua calls the children of Israel together and he tells them of God's promises to them. He says, he'll drive out your enemies and your giants out before you. In verse 4, verse 6, I'll just turn there. Joshua 23, in closing here. Joshua 23, verse 1 talks about that. Verse 6 says, be therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. And he goes down there and talks about various different things. In verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised thee. I don't know if David remembered that, went from there. I don't know exactly what that was, but he definitely realized that God was real to him. God was there for him to fight the battles. The battle is the Lord's. Where are we this evening? Are we struggling with giants in our lives? I'm sure we probably all have some to some extent somewhere. And I assure you that sometimes these look very big. And we look, and when we look at them as in our human eyes, right? But we need to look beyond that giant to the God behind. I think that's very important. Let's have the faith of giants. Face the giants of today with God's help. Someday, if we were faithful in eternity, those giants will seem so small when God shows us the whole picture. I thought of the song, "All Trials Will Seem So Small When We See Christ." And I was blessed by that story. As you think of the giant was real to him. And today we face the same thing. But you know, that same God that was there is here today. Praise God for it. May God help us to be faithful in fighting our giants and remember who the God is that we are serving. I bless you.